Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. Body, NBL playoffs on. WNBL playoffs about to start. What a round of the WNBL it was.
That was truly an amazing round, and it really came down to the last game, and it really doesn't. And for all that evenness, and for all that, you know, the various 32 different permutations, what we end up with is the same semi-finalists as we had last season. Townsville playing Perth, Southside playing Melbourne. So, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. But let's move on. We've got a really good guest, a very pertinent guest at this particular moment.
Absolutely.
Let's do the intros, Brett.
An absolute brilliant one as well. And obviously, when we talk about Adelaide 36ers, there's a few names that come to mind, and this is one of them. We have had this man on before, an illustrious playing career, but today we have no longer the interim coach, Scott Ninnis. We now have the head coach of the Adelaide 36ers. And just to put in a little side note, saw him in Illawarra recently, had a little cuddle when he won because it was fantastic. He's a good friend of our show. Scott Ninnis, welcome back, mate. Great to have you, and congratulations on a great couple of years deal.
Thank you, boys. It is very exciting. It's nice not to have a little weird interim next year now, but it's been such a whirlwind this last 12 months. I've been out of basketball for a long time from an NBL point of view, and to get the tap on the shoulder to come back as assistant coach, and all I wanted to do was try and help. I mean, that's literally all I wanted to do, and wow, things change really quickly, don't they? But to be back with a club that I love and have spent I'm not sure I want to say how long for, but it's been probably 35 years is really, really exciting.
Yeah, and it's exciting for Brad because now that we can take the word interim out, you know, words with three syllables get very confusing for him. So he's really quite happy that you're now the head coach. So the question I want to ask is, like, you were out of coaching for quite some time. You came back a couple of years ago doing South Adelaide in the NBL 1 Central comp. Like, how did you first, I mean, were you missing it? You know, what lured you back into coaching in the first place?
Well, no, I wouldn't say I was missing it. Look, the club, through Ben Kavanagh at the time, got Brett Maher and myself back into to run all the community stuff, all the holiday camps, the school clinics, and that was probably about 4.5 years ago. And look, Brett's always been around the club. My journey has been a little bit different after my last go around, and be fair to say that I probably didn't like the club all that much for about 4 or 5 years with the way that it ended last time. So to get back involved and be involved with all the players on a day-to-day basis, well, not day-to-day basis, with all the school clinics and holiday camps was very exciting. And then it sort of progressed from there. And, the start of CJ's tenure, I got asked to come out and do some work with Kai Soto and be involved with some of the pre-season. So the South Adelaide thing was really important. I've always thought that if there was one way I was going to get back into Basel, it was with the club that I'd loved and grew up with, since I was 11 years old. So I think that stoked the fire. And then the involvement with the Sixers thing grew from there. And here we are today.
Yeah.
Let me go back to that, because as someone who says, it didn't end well with Adelaide, you, like many of players, have felt that way. There's no question, right? When it doesn't end, not everyone gets the grand final send-off. Hoorah, here you go. Well done, you won, and go out merry way. What was that like to have to come back knowing that you love the club, but there was that there?
Well, let's face it, Brett Maher's the only kiss-ass that comes back to be able to do it on his own way. Let's fade him. Let's wave farewell, kiss babies, hug people. You're right. It was very, very different. And it's unique is a really weird word because, I was out of the game for a long, long time. Yeah. And people don't get to have that second opportunity, and I wasn't looking for that. I was just wanting to come back and help the club and help CJ in any possible way that I could. That I didn't have any agenda, and I know the club knew that. Like I just wanted to come back and help, and then obviously the start of this season, didn't go well, and I got the tap on the shoulder, and you know, we weren't good straight away. It took us four games to win a game, and you know, there's only so much stuff you can do initially. You can't change a lot of things. I tried to simplify things, and I've been around teams over the years, thankfully not a lot of really bad ones who, you know, could have given up. We could have. I spoke to someone very, very close to me with 10 games to go and said, we could lose these last 10 games. I mean, that's where we were. We were on the bubble of, like, just dealing it in, and we didn't do that. And that's a credit to the guys we had in this team. They stuck together, and we had that win against Melbourne at home, and then something clicked and we got the roles organised, and, you know, we didn't get where we wanted to do, but it was, you know, what we did in the 2024 calendar year should never, ever be underestimated, because we didn't make the finals, which is where we wanted to do, but it was an outstanding effort to finish the year.
All right, let me ask you this then, Scotty. There's no way I'm even going to say to you, are you a better coach or any of that? Because I know you're a bloody good coach many years ago and all of that, and you're still the same guy. But let me tell you, how are you a different coach from what you learned last time?
Yeah, good question. A different scenario, obviously. I mean, my first year when I took over, replacing Phil Smythe, so that, you know, that's like replacing God. Like, it's
fighting to nothing.
But we had been out of the playoffs for a couple of years, and we brought in people like Luke Schencher and Aaron Bruce, and we brought back some local kids and Jacob Holmes and Brad Hill, and you know, we had Adam Ballinger, and we had Brett Maher, who in his last year. Now, Brett Maher played for Phil Smythe for 11 years. I'm his best mate. He gave me 1 year. Yeah. So let's just put that out right there. We made the playoffs, but we were one and done. And the second year, there was a change of ownership. Things went completely pear-shaped. The club nearly didn't exist anymore after that. So that second year was difficult. You know, trying to – and I'm not an excuse maker. Like, things went pear-shaped. We know how that went down. And then I got the sack after that second year after my – into a three-year contract. But, like, right now – like, it's a lot of years later. I would like to say more mature, but I've been publicly saying that my wife would disagree with that second part of it. But I'm a much calmer person.
I think
from a Basel point of view now. Like, I've always thought I understand the game really, really well, and I've always thought I'm a good game coach. And but, you know, when things are going crazy and there's 10,000 people in the stadium and you have to make quick decisions, I've actually think this year I've been much more poised with that. I think I've made really good decisions on the fly. You know, we had to change roles. I had to put people on the bench that have been starters their entire life this year. And I know they're not happy with it. But they bought into it, and to me, to do that halfway through a season, and for people to not only accept that, to buy into it and do it for the better of the team, I think showed me that I was on the right path. So, now moving forward, I don't have any excuses anymore. Now I've got the team to myself. So no, but it's been really exciting. I think that part of it showed me that I'm on the right path.
Nice.
So now who do you absolutely have to retain? You've got Dejan Vasiljevic. Who else do you – like, what priority do you give Isaac Humphries, who said he's going to go out on the – he's now the MVP, but he's going to go out on the free agent market. Like, who are your priorities?
Isaac's number one. There's no question. He deserves to get paid. I've been banging on about him. And once again, how he's not in an All-Star 5, 1 or 2, to me, He's a disgrace. I'm a little bit biased, it'd be fair to say. But
Can I interrupt you? Yeah. Both Brad and I had the same All-Star Five because we didn't go positionless. We went, if it's going to be called a team, it has to have position. And Isaac was the centre in both of our teams. We thought that whole thing was ridiculous. But sorry, go on.
So why do we have to do this stupid wanky stuff that the NBA does? Oh, sorry, did I say that out loud?
Yeah, you did.
Anyway, once again, I'm biased with Isaac. And the first thing I did when I took over was to make him our number one option.
Like
he was talk about him being brought off the bench. I said, no, you're starting and we're going to throw the ball to you at the start of, you know, the court every time and establish an inside presence. Now, to me, that's not rocket science.
No.
So he's had his best year of his career, in his professional career, I like to think, under me, whether that's because of me or not. He loves Adelaide. He knows that I back him in. So I'm hopeful that it will... I think we can get it done. We need to get it done.
Okay, so the rest of the question was still... of the others, who you've got? Okay, we've got Vasiljevic. You want to lock in Humphreys. Who else of what's left? I know you've got Jason Kidd on a multi-year contract. Who else are you keen to lock in?
Yeah, right? I think the way you look at Corin Galloway in the second half of the season, and you know, like he became a starter almost by accident because of Wiley's injury.
Yep.
And then I think everyone's looked at Galloway. That 6'9" athletic, shot blocking, 40% 3-point shooting guys don't grow on trees. So, I think I'd love to have him back, and I think he gives you an exciting prospect that not a lot of teams have. So, I've been very clear on this from the start: is what this club now needs is stability. Yeah, I think we bought in 8 new players this year, and over the course of a lot of years that's happened. And there are reasons behind that at times, but right now we need stability. And that's why I pushed for a 2-year contract myself.
Yep.
Vasiljevic is here for 3 years. You know, if Isaac Humphreys wants to sign for 3 years, I'm good with that. A Galloway, we get him for a couple of years. And then, you know, we have, as you said, we have Kadee, we have Nick Marshall, we have Sonny Dets as it stands at the moment. We can't keep changing over teams every year. You look at the Perth Wildcats and the New Zealand Breakers from those glory years who won championships every year. Yeah. They had their core. They made changes. There was always one or two or three changes, but they had their core group that grew together. And that's what we need to do now. So that's my key now is stability. Make the right changes. And whether you win the championship or not, you always make changes.
Yeah.
But that's where we need to go going forward.
Well, let's go to imports then, because on the assumption you get that core Australian group, that's a huge tick. Now you've got to move your imports in rotation and where that goes. Look, I like Trey Kell at South East Melbourne when he played. He went to another level with you guys and another level when you took over. Very, very impressive. Where do you see him?
Oh, absolutely still in the mix. I don't think there's... someone said to me about a month ago, if he could get an import point guard that you knew was going to average 20 points, 5 assists and 5 rebounds, you know, would you take that? And you would say yes. So, I guess the thing for me right now is the Aussies are the ones we need to lock in.
Yeah.
And I've spoken to Trey and he was incredibly important to our team this year. There was no questions about that. But he also understands that we're going to look at the Aussie component first. So, we'll keep the lines of communication open with him. We shifted him to the point guard, and he was, I thought he was unlucky not to be an All-Star 5 team as well. But that's another conversation. So, Yeah, we'll sort that out. He understands that, but he's certainly still in the mix.
Just following Brad's question, will you be able to go to three imports? Like, will there be budget for three imports?
Well, I don't think budget's going to be a problem. I think we'll spend the money that we need to spend, which is just a little bit different than the last time I was involved with the club. But once again, if you get an Isaac Humphries, you already got a Vasilovic. If we could get another high-level import, another high-level Aussie, I don't mind going with two imports and keeping one up your sleeve through injury or whatever. So I'm not the guy that goes, we struggled this year. You know, most clubs had three imports. You know, we obviously had the dramas earlier in the year with Jamal Franklin and that, and then we went with two imports. If we get the right team and the right quality Aussies, I don't mind going with two imports. I think you need to look at the game in a different way. Like, if we've got three outstanding high quality Aussies, and I've got a couple in mind, but to go with Isaac and DJ, well, then let's worry about, let's not. I think we need to look at the game a different way, is what I'm saying.
Sure. Scotty, I want to ask this question. Every team that has any availability of a coach, Brian Gorshin is going to, and if it's not him, it's Trevor Gleeson, right? That's just how it works at the moment, right? As a coach that was interim, and we use those words, that's no longer, what was that like when you come off a season knowing, mate, you did absolutely everything you could, you deserved the two-year deal, no question, probably argue if it was more. What was that like reading all of that, knowing true, not true, it's irrelevant, but for someone like, what more did you have to do?
Yeah, it was interesting. It seemed to be put out there by the same people every two or three days. And we were in a stage where we were pushing for a playoff spot that ultimately didn't happen, but there was still a hope. And, you know, to hear that outside noise. Now, outside noise is exactly what it is, but a lot of the players don't hear that. You know, we basically had no margin of error. We couldn't lose games. And ultimately, we lost those two games in Brisbane and Tasmania, but we were still really alive back then. Yeah. And to hear that, and it, to me, for the to hear it come out about Gorge, and it was always on game day, you know, and it was by the same people, and it was driven by the same people over and over again. That's what I was disappointed in. Hey, if I'm the club, mate, I have no problem them going and asking or Trevor Gleeson the question. They'd be bereft in there if they wouldn't be doing their duties if they didn't do that. And my message from the club has always been the same. We were always going to wait till after the season. That was clear from day one. I was happy with that. I basically had an audition for 3.5 months. Fine. But there just seemed to be an agenda from people that were pushing that noise. And to me, it seemed like people who try and derail our season. So that's the only thing that I would say that I was disappointed in, because that was unnecessary. Yes, we know Gorge is available. You don't need to put out the same story every 3 days.
Over and over. It's the same. I said this on air with Brad a couple of weeks ago. It was the same in the AFL a few years ago. Anytime there was a team, Essendon, North Melbourne, Gold Coast, that had a coaching situation, they also, oh, it's going to be Alistair Clarkson. And Brian Gorgian became, and Trevor Gleeson became the same. Anytime there was some sort of coaching story, there was some unhappiness, they kept getting trotted out. Now, the thing I was interested to read, though, with your appointment was the comment that the club is going to help you or insist or something along the lines of getting an experienced assistant coach to assist you. Now, are you getting a say in that? Because I thought Graham Kubank and you worked very well together.
Mate, what I will say is what Graham Kubank brought to this team this year, on and off the court, was was outstanding. I've made mention that to me he was what Steve Breeny was to Phil Smyth.
Right.
Like he was that important. And people don't see what happens behind the scenes, but the work that he did, when we inherited this group, you know, we were mentally we were fractured. Yeah. Like what he did behind the scenes was astonishing. People will never see that. And to me, he's someone that I implicitly trust. And this is a little bit different from the last time I was in this gig as well. You have to have yes. that. So I'll always back Kiwi, within an inch of my life. All that stuff is conversation that still needs to happen. But
Is that from your news? Is that from your Newcastle days, Scotty, playing with him?
No. He was the funny thing with Kiwi was like going back right back in the day. My first official year was with the Invincibles in '86. Kiwi actually replaced me in '87 under Gary Fox.
Oh yep. Wow!
Which was sucked to be him, because then I went and got to play for the Buffaloes and played 40 minutes a game and
won a championship.
And that poor prick sat on his ass and didn't play a second. And then I replaced him in 88. And then the 2 years he had with the 36ers in 91, 92 is when I went and played on the Gorge with the Eastside Spectres and the Magic. So,
and won a championship.
Won a championship. But from a playing point of view, Kiwi and I haven't had a lot to do with. And
wow, okay.
But then he came back under Dunlap in 95 and as an assistant coach. And the less said about that era, the better, but that's another story. But so we, from a playing point of view, we haven't had much to do with each other. But we've always been mates. And then I brought him into South with a NBL one, 2 years ago, and we were fortunate to win a championship. So it's just, once again, you have to have people alongside you.
I could have. I really thought that there was some Thai connection when you were in Newcastle, and that's what I was thinking, that you tied up there. But obviously, I'm completely wrong. I want to divert here to the NBL, and ask now, who's going to win it? Now, we'll talk straight away. Let's go through some games here. You've got Sydney playing New Zealand. You've got Illawarra playing Tasmania. Can anyone beat Melbourne and Perth? Who you got?
Oh, I'm going to be... Well, Melbourne's the obvious story.
Yes.
Obviously. I mean, there's so much talent, but I think Tasmania. If you do not come ready to play against them, you're going to lose the game. I've been pretty clear on my man love for Scott Roth, and there's a bit of got a bit of a bromance going at the moment. But
it's a Scott thing.
It's a Scott thing. But the way they play at both ends of the court, they're so disciplined, and brilliant. Going down there and playing there is really hard. I think Melbourne will win. I hope Tasmania win.
Okay. I've got a question for you back to something that you said earlier about the high South Australian content on the 36ers back in the day, which was one of the really attractive things about it, was that kids playing NBL 1 here or State League or whatever it was at the time knew they had a pathway into the NBL with the 36ers if they were good enough. And now we seem to sort of have a bit more of a foreign legion going. How did you deal with or react to the fact that we had Lachie Olbrich, a free agent before this season, ends up in Illawarra, Isaac White, Sam McDaniel, South Australian kids that were free agents from Tasmania end up in Brisbane? Like, did that rankle with you, or did you just go, okay, well, I'm not making the player decisions, those are with CJ and the club? But surely losing those three guys was a terrible thing. It takes me back to Joe Ingles and Brad Newley.
It more than rankles with me, buddy. Like, this is the number one thing. If I can impact upon anything, it will be making the 36ers a destination for South Australian players. And Lock and Albrick was the final nut in the coffin for me. I cannot ever bag the Joe Ingles thing because I was the one that recruited him to the Dragons.
The South Dragons, yeah. So,
you go back to Newley and so, yeah, Lachlan Albrecht to me, yeah, well, there's mistakes have been made. But there's nothing we can change about that now. But what I can change now is making sure the next generation always feel wanted by the 36ers. And, you know, we have a list of names now of every South Australian that's playing in college. Right. Kiwi and I went to the under-20s for one day a month ago and sat behind the South Australian bench and supported them. And that sort of stuff has been lost.
Yes.
You know, and you will know that we're a little bit of a different breed here.
Yes.
Body in South Australia. We love our own. And it's not, yes, we're not going to just promote someone because they're South Australian, but we can't lose the South Australians. We'll also adopt people that come here. So to me, when I look at the 36ers now, and there's only Nick Marshall in our entire team that's a South Australian, to me is wrong. Yeah. You know, when I came in this year and we did a development camp and I looked at the names on the board and there were people up there, and I said, where's this person's name and where's this person's name? And I'll give you an example. Jacob Rigoni's name wasn't on the list.
Right.
Now, we brought him in. Now, he was 4 months too old to be a development player, but his name wasn't even on the list. Now, that kid is an NBL player, but he's never got an opportunity. I guess you look at him, he's 6'5", he's undersized, but this is a 40% three-point shooter who's tough as nails, who is an NBL player. So to me, that's where we've got to get back to. So, you know, promote our own and make sure that all these kids are at college now, there's a destination for them, and that's the 36ers.
All right. Well, we're at that point, Scott. You remember the first time we interviewed you, we reached the end where we throw three names apiece at you and you come back to us with a one-word response or an anecdote or a sentence if required. But usually one-word responses are good. I'll let Brad lead this off.
I will start. Brian Gorgian.
look, mentor. Like without – it's more than one word already, isn't it?
Yep.
Like without Brian Gorgian, I would never have made as a player.
Nice.
Right. Okay. My first one is DJ, Dejan Vasiljevic.
I was going to say which one.
Yeah, he's looking.
Yeah, he's – I love him. He's a throwback. He's a lot of players these days are a little bit boring. He's an edge. He's got an edginess about him.
Yep.
To sign for the 36 for 3 years. He'll be a pain in my backside for a while, but to have a guy that is going to win games for you is very exciting.
I got to be honest, I miss him in Sydney because there's a guy that can go 0 of 30 and the next one is 1 second to go in the game. I want it because I'm dropping it. I love him. Absolutely love him. Another one I'm interested in, Phil Smythe.
Yeah, I don't see Phil as often as I need to. We had our MVP dinner on Friday night, and out of all the Hall of Fame players, we got Darryl Pearce over from Melbourne, and everyone else was there, but Phil wasn't there. And I'm not sure why, but look.
Did you have to wear a tie? That might have been it.
Well, I didn't wear a tie because Phil wasn't there. I thought someone needed to do the no tie thing. But you know, the greatest memories of my basketball career, outside of the Magic with Gorgian 92, were with Phil.
Yeah, lovely.
Right, my next one is DJ Daniel Johnson.
I got to coach him at South last year. These are meant to be one-word answers, right?
Yeah, but they can be an anecdote or a bit more if you wish. So go ahead.
I love the opportunity to coach DJ at South Adelaide last year. Now he's gone back to bloody Forest Hill with Andy Simons. But a joy to coach. I think he gets probably not the credit that he deserves. I loved every second with him. I think he's one of the greats. I would have loved to have seen him play his career out with the 36ers.
Yep.
Love it. Darnell Mee
has been in contact with me recently.
Assistant role.
well, So when they came back, when we had the 25-year reunion, I
saw that.
Daniel came back. I bought him out to the team, and I introduced him to the players. Half of them didn't care, but people like Vasiljevic and that went up and introduced themselves. And look, I would, if I could get someone like him on my team now, at the prime of his career, I reckon I might have been assigned for 5 years.
Yeah.
All right, my last one for you is DJ. This time is DJ Hoag. Do you know why Hog is pronounced Hoag?
It's ridiculous. All these people change name. Chris Golding was Goulding.
Yep.
DJ Hog is now DJ Hoag. Yep. And there's a couple other people, Liz Cambage. Like, why's everyone change his name? What would I do? Ninas. Doesn't have the same ring to it, does it?
Oh, Scotty, thank you. I got to thank you for joining me and Body Nagy. I really appreciate that, mate.
I was waiting for that. I thought that was coming from Scott, but no.
Where do we go with you, Brad?
Brad, Rosin. I get Rosin sometimes. I get Rosin. Mate, you're a legend. We absolutely love you. And you know what is so nice in our sport? A good guy got something they deserve.
Yes.
And it doesn't happen a lot. And no, you've and when I say deserve, you've burnt your ass off to get there. You've earned it, mate. And a huge congratulations. And we wish you nothing but success, mate.
No, I appreciate it, guys.
Okay. Good to see you.
I'm not that good a guy, though.
Hey, I bet you Brett Maher's calling you tomorrow to say that as well.
When he hears this, yeah. Thanks, all right, Scotty.
See you, mate. That was unbelievable. Love Scottiness.
Yes,
great talk. Basically, for our listeners, he just said, ask me anything. I'm cool with it. And what a great man. Jeez, it's nice to see a good guy win. All right, buddy. Come on, talk to me.
Let's quickly go through WNBL because that last round was phenomenal. We had Southside playing Townsville to open it. Both teams were on 13-7. They had a 1-1 record. So the winner of that was going to take top place. Mm-hmm. Southside wins 77-70. They go to they move one position ahead. Then next game, we've got Melbourne 75 defeats Canberra 74. That takes Melbourne's record on to 12-9, so they've just got to sweat it out. And Southside has got first place, provided it beats Adelaide. It doesn't. Adelaide beats them 74-60, so they drop back down to second, provided Townsville beats Sydney. Sydney watches Perth come from 16 down to beat Bendigo, so both of them end up on 11-10. So Sydney's on 11-9, needs to win, loses to Townsville, who now have a reason to win because they could pinch first place back. It was an amazing finish. They beat Sydney. They go to 14-7 on top, Southside 13-8 second, and Sydney's 11-10. Despite all that off-season spending, they finish up outside the playoffs, and Perth sneak in at the absolute 11th hour. So for me, that was the moment of the round. Perth coming from 16 down in Bendigo to win by 19. That was my moment of the round. Did you have one, Brad?
Oh, look, there's so many of them. Can you just replay all that again? I didn't get that, mate. What did you say then?
It was a pretty amazing round. Yeah, every game affected the outcome.
Well, that was the thing that I wanted to say. There wasn't really a moment of the round. It was the round.
Yeah,
it was the fact that every game was like, oh my God, I can't wait to watch this. Yeah, it really did. And you were watching games that you could see what it meant to the girls, you know, like Perth, oh, you're done. Boom, I'm coming. You know what I mean? And then that, you know, Southside doing what they did. And then the Boomers, that Boomers Capital game, oh man, I love that. You know, that was just a brilliant game. And I think it was like 5 minutes to go. They're out by 10, you know, and it was
73-63 and then Canberra going 11-0 run.
I know. It was like, tough. And then, like you said, the Adelaide game and then Bendigo losing to Perth. And, you know, I watched that Townsville-Sydney game. And I'm telling you, Sydney threw everything. They're hitting threes. They're doing it. But Townsville just kept coming. They were brilliant.
Yeah, as happy as I was to see Sydney lose that so that we get the same semi-finalists as last year and you get to cry, I did think Kayla George had a stinker. She really needed to play way better than that.
Definitely wasn't. You know,
being down Tess Madgen too also didn't help.
That was the big one for me. Yep. You're right. But look, okay. I thought Sammy, hang on, I've got to just say, Sammy Whitcomb, only 4.6 assists, 5 rebounds. Man, she was brilliant. She just controlled that whole game. Steph Reed was great, don't get me wrong, but she just created that. Anyway, moving on. Go for it. Okay, who's your player of the round?
Well, my player of the round is Ari McDonald. Since she's come back, she went out just at the end of last year, and in that time, the Lynx have struggled to sort of maintain. She's come back. They won last week. She's got 26 points and hit some massive baskets against Bendigo, broke their hearts. I think if she had played the full season, she might have given the MVP a real nudge. And she's my player of the round. Who's yours?
Oh, I can't go against Naz Hillman. No. That 35 points. I mean, I know they didn't play well at the end of that game against Caps, but man, she was awesome. She was absolutely awesome. Let me just quickly brush through in case people haven't heard of the award winners. Do we want to talk about that, Waddy? Okay, so the Susie Bakovet Medal, Jordan Canada. No complaints there for me. No, loved that. No. Thought that was great. MVP, well, the fan MVP, I should say, Jade Melbourne.
Least important award of the lot.
Tough one. All NBL, all WNBL first team, Jordan Canada, of course, Jade Melbourne, Lauren Nicholson, Isabella Belaise, and Mercedes Russell. Again, there's no one I would say no way, but people will always argue it should have been that person, you know. Second team, Sammy Whitman, Naz Hillman, Atwell, McDonald from Perth, and Diddy Richards from the Flames. Defensive player of the year, Lauren Nicholson. Your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, that's all right. That's not a bad
Coach of the year, Shannon Seabom. I got, you know, like...
I'm flicking a coin between him and Chris Lucas.
The breakout player of the year, Alex Sharp, can't argue.
That's a good one.
And then the community award, Courtney Woods. So really no shocks there. I'm going to go straight into my Rosen.
Didn't you get Courtney Woods one time with your pants down or something? Wasn't that... Oh, am I mixing you up with someone else?
Let's move on. I'm going to go straight to my Rosen Rattler, though. I'm moving way away from that. I'm not touching that. Punt. My Rosen Rattler is actually the WNBL Awards. Now, as a player, the one thing that you would love is to go up and get an award. Now, you take the NBL Awards night. I enjoyed that, right? Sure. And they go up and they get their awards. And if you're, if you're Shay Ely, you go one question, you walk off, which was hilarious. But if you're everyone else,
you were up for an award too, weren't you, for commentary? Weren't you up for an award? Breathless commentator.
Never shuts up. Thank you. But coming from an Adelaide guy, I'm not surprised because they all hate me there. But
not everybody.
Everyone.
I can guarantee you there's at least 4 people I know.
Oh, okay. Say hello to your wife and family for me. But what I will say is I can't believe the WNBL Awards is after a game and it's not even where that game is. So now I'm going to go to Townsville and the Flames, right? Yeah. They play a game. What is it? 4 or 5 of those girls and the coach for Townsville win the award.
Irrelevant, yeah.
And they're still in the showers probably. You know, that's unbelievable. I couldn't believe that would happen.
Well, that following from that, my nudge nasty is the same. WNBL is very, very poor at the highest levels. At the awards, Naz Hillman was announced as Naz Hamilton.
Mm.
Now, how do you effing get that wrong? Mm. I mean, seriously, the WNBL is very lucky that Naz Hillman's mother was not in attendance because she would have ripped the place apart. Also, it was really good to see that Ray Tomlinson got acknowledged as Ray Tom Wilson.
Yeah, I know. But it was nice got acknowledged but not said.
Brad, you've got to get that stuff right. That's pathetic. All right, quickly, let's move on to we've got the semi-finals Wednesday nights, Southside versus Melbourne in Melbourne, Townsville versus Perth in Perth. Who you got?
I'm going to go for a Fire Boomers grand final.
Fire and Boomers. All right, well, you're a brave man. Also, that's the night the Matildas are playing as well against Uzbekistan in Melbourne, so it's going to be – it might impact the crowd because that's already a sellout.
Yeah.
All right. We've got men's games on Wednesdays, the first round of the top six.
Tasmania beating Illawarra in a very close one, backing up what Scotty has just said there.
Really looking forward to that.
And then I believe Sydney will beat New Zealand. New Zealand are just a walking wounded. But Sydney better bring their A game or they will lose because New Zealand's coming in with a cricket bat.
Yeah. All right. I think we're out.
Beautiful. To all our listeners, thank you so much. We will be back next week. I am hearing that if the game after the Tasmania-Illawarra game, depending on who wins and loses, obviously the loser has to play the winner of the next game, Monday night, I'm hearing, buddy. So we may not, we won't be out if that happens. So obviously, if we predict we're going Sydney versus Illawarra in Illawarra, yes. Who you got?
Good. How good. I'm going with the Hawks, and I actually would like to be at that game.
Oh, mate.
You don't know anybody? Get me a ticket.
No. Well, maybe Lockie Ulbrich. He's an Adelaide boy. Everyone, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time. Did you hear a little whisper from Scotty Ninnis about Darnell Me? You said something, and he went, no comment.
Kind of quiet, didn't he? Yeah. And I know Darnell's been coaching in the US, so that would be interesting. Wouldn't that be interesting? It's great for the 36ers because for 20-plus years, 22 years, they've had nothing really to be all that excited about. So that would be a wonderful
thing. I feel the Blues Brothers, the band's back together.